Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Midday on the Arts continues now with a conversation about the future of the Single Carrot Theater. Single Carrot has announced that next month it will leave the theater that it's called home for the last 5 years. The final performances in their Remington space take place this weekend. That show is called Pink Milk by the trans woman playwright Ariel Zatina. It's based on the life of the mathematician Alan Turing. Midday's theater critic Jay Wynn Russick reviewed that play on our show last week. Pink Milk is a pretty typical kind of offering, the kind that we've come to expect from Single Carrot, in that it's a regional premiere of an experimental play that one would be unlikely to encounter anywhere else. It is also the only play the company, now in its 12th season, has produced this year. Joining me now, Genevieve DeMahie. She's the artistic director of Single Carrot, and Alix Fenhagen, who's serving as the company's interim managing director. A reminder that all three of our conversations on today's program have been pre-recorded, so we can't take your calls and emails. It's good to see you both. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit, Genevieve, first of all, about this play. This is the final few performances of Pink Milk, final of the run and final holding fort in your current theater. But tell us a little bit about the play, Pink Milk.
Sure. Pink Milk is about Alan Turing, the mathematician during World War II. And he had relationships with men and was persecuted by the British government as a result of that. And so this play takes a look, rather than the biography of his life, really looks at his emotional and psychological life and kind of these flashes of different moments in his life. It's very visually interesting to look at, and it's really kind of these bits of text and these little vignettes that are stringing his life together. There's also inanimate objects that talk to him that he has relationships with, like a daisy, and all the robots that he makes throughout the play also have dialogue as well.
So do you think the playwright's intent was for us to get an insight into Turing and Turing's life individually, or larger concepts?
I think larger concepts. It really is not always completely biographical. And so I think she really uses this story of Alan Turing to examine issues in the LGBTQ community and even reflecting those today, how we relate to how society treats members of the LGBTQ community when they have to live in secret or live in public, and really how they navigate through the world.
Mm-hmm. And Alix Fenhagen, you had a relationship with a lot of folks in the LGBTQ community last season when you did a production of Peter Pan. That collaborative dimension of Single Carrot has always been part of your modus operandi. In what ways are you collaborating with the LGBTQ community on this production?
Sure. So for the past 3 years, we've been looking into more community-based partnerships. And we decided to continue those relationships that we built through Peter Pan last year with the production that we're doing now. And so we've been partnering with Chase Brexton and their elders group and to produce some interviews between LGBTQ elders and youth. And these are really a way of connecting to populations in the LGBTQ community who don't always intersect. There's not many places geographically in the city right now where those two populations come into contact. And so these interviews are a way of exploring identity, which this play does, exploring identity in this community and moments of joy and moments of sadness and persecution and misunderstanding. And we present them in audio form in our lobby, and they're on our website, and we're hoping to disseminate them through partners as well.
Yeah, so there'll be a whole series of them.
Yep.
You know, that you could access on the web. And Genevieve, it's interesting because when you talk about the older members of the LGBTQ community and younger, you've got a generation that came of age before the AIDS epidemic, and then another generation that, you know, has never known anything else their entire life. So what are you learning in these interviews between the older and younger people in that community?
Yeah, I think, you know, and I am not part of the LGBTQ community, but from what I understand in conversations with Chase Brexton and members of our own ensemble, there really is a generational gap there. And I think, you know, what happens with many many generational gaps in all sorts of communities of, you know, you didn't know what it was like, you didn't, you know, you weren't there, and feeling that there was a lot of work done and advocacy done that that maybe is underappreciated by youth. And with these conversations, those two communities can really connect and have dialogue about that. I think something else that we've noticed, you know, there's a lot of the language that's used to describe the LGBTQ community has expanded a lot. You know, people identify as non-binary or gender neutral. A lot of the youth that we've interviewed identify themselves as queer, which was previously a pejorative term. And so there are that language that's used to identify, I think, has expanded. So that's a conversation that comes up a lot in these interviews. And just the history and being able to have youth have this individual dialogue. And I think just expands that kind of knowledge and thought process of the history of the community.
It's Midday on the Arts. I'm Tom Hall. My guests are Genevieve DeMaye and Alix Fenhagen. They are part of the leadership team at the Single Carrot Theater. So, Alix, using the production, this production of Pink Milk, as a springboard for conversations, sort of a larger conversation, is certainly, as I mentioned, you know, nothing new for you guys. What is going to be new next season is that you're going to leave your theater, the theater that you started occupying back about 5 years ago over on Howard Street. What's behind that decision?
A bunch of things are behind that decision. One of them is a desire to make theater more meaningful to Baltimore. And one of the ways that we've found to do that is actually to take theater out of the theater. We did a show called Promenade Baltimore a few years ago, which was tremendously successful
for
us.
That was the one on the bus.
That was the one on the bus.
I had a good time. I was on that bus one night.
Yeah. And what we found was the response to the play was much larger than we've had to some other plays in our space. And part of that is that it really connected people to the city, and it connected the city to the theater. And so we're looking to do more of that with site-specific performances. That's a big part of it, and activating spaces and activating our plays and people's experience of our plays by the place that they are experiencing them. And then also putting more resources towards the art. Our space has been really wonderful for us, but it is not expensive, as all space is. And what we've found is the shows that we've done that have been the most successful are things that either were outside of our space or could have been done equally or more dynamically outside of our space. And by transitioning to a site-specific model, we'll be able to shift resources to mission-fulfilling work, to the art, to the artists, to the people carrying them out. Really essential way.
Mm-hmm. And Genevieve, given the fact that, you know, seasons prior to this one, you've done four or five plays every year. This year, you're just doing one. You're leaving the theater, as Alix mentioned. Of course, it's very expensive to, you know, pay rent on a theater. What's this going to mean for your budget? And, you know, should people be concerned about the sort of financial stability of the theater now? It seems like things are being cut down and pared down.
I think, you know, what we're realizing and what we knew going into this is really our financial needs don't change drastically moving out of our space. Really, it's just where
they don't. You don't save a whole lot of money not paying rent.
We do, but you know, as theaters, especially a theater of our size, we're always stretching and financially, and we're always trying to figure out where to best use our resources. And also, you know, each year when you make a budget, you always have to like shave it down to the bare essentials. And so what we want to do with this is pay our artists more and pay our staff more. And also with this new mission and this new direction, there's going to be much deeper and prolonged and significant community partnership work that's going to happen with neighborhoods where we're performing, with different service organizations and in other sectors. And we really need the same amount of resources and the same amount to push towards that art and that community building. You know, we don't want to just like pop into neighborhoods and just whirl in and leave. We want those to be prolonged relationships that Single Carrot has with those communities and those neighborhoods and those service organizations, mm-hmm. and those take resources.
So, Alix, is this then a matter of just sort of reallocating the resources that you have? I mean, when you talk about, you know, doing theater that's meaningful, that resonates with the community, that's, that draws the community towards the theater and brings the theater into the community, how is that different happening in a space outside of the theater or inside the theater? Can't you be relatable to the community? You know, can't center stage be relatable or an everyman be relatable in their theaters? What's the importance of the location?
Yeah. Absolutely they can. We're a little more nimble. We're smaller. I think we, as a smaller organization that's known for being a little more risky, we have an opportunity to do something that would be much more challenging for a larger institution to do. And one of those things is to use space in Baltimore in a way to underscore social relevance of plays and the experience of the audience members within them. Different areas in Baltimore, different spaces have tremendously different connotations for different people, depending on what population you're a part of, depending on your history in Baltimore and Baltimore's history in general. And to be able to use that in a way that makes the experience of a theater piece more dynamic and more profound and more resonant and more personally meaningful is a really great opportunity that is not possible to carry out within a theater.
And Genevieve, in terms of the social relevance of each of the plays you're picking, how is this going to inform and will it change the way you decide to program?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, over time in the last few years, social relevance is always something that's been important to us. But in the last few years, we've been asking a lot of deeper questions about what that means. What does that actually mean? In terms of theater making, what does that mean in terms of relationships within Baltimore and issues and topics within Baltimore? And so I think when we are now thinking about the work that we do, it's really, you know, a lot of questions about, is this relevant to Baltimore? Is this, why now? Why must this play be done now? And what role can it play in how people think and view the world? And I think, two, you know, there is this connection aspect. I think in this current climate, we're really looking to see how we can build bridges and how we can connect between different groups of people and different populations and on different topics in a way that's beyond what we've done before.
We got 20 seconds left, Alix. You've announced one play that you're going to do next year. It's called Mr. Wolf by Rajiv Joseph. Give us an example of the kind of space that might take place in.
Sure. So we're narrowing it down right now. We're looking really at two spaces, but it's going to take place in a domestic setting that will be small and intimate. So the audience will really get to be invited into these conversations, these deeply private conversations that you're usually...
So it'll be like in somebody's house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or something that feels like that.
Yeah. Genevieve DeMai is the artistic director of the Single Carrot Theater. Alix Fenhagen is the company's interim managing director. The final performances of Pink Milk by Ariel Zatina are tonight and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And we've got information at WIPR.org/midday. Break a leg this weekend and enjoy the new journey. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up, theater critic Jay Wynn Russick brings us her weekly review. We're going to talk about how to catch creation at Baltimore Center Stage right after this quick break. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.